Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 5 of E4 2018. I'm Tommy. Jamie sitting over there. How you doing, man?
Totally distracted. That production is great.
Isn't it? We've used this since the very first year of E4. Yeah. And it's still fantastic. Love that.
That's what happens when we apply ourselves, which doesn't happen very often.
It does not.
No, it does not.
But when it's there, it's fun. So yeah. It is fun production. So this is the last of our press conferences show that's going to cover Ubi and the PC Gaming Show, which actually happened yesterday, which was Monday. We already did Nintendo Show, which happened today, which is Tuesday. Whatever. We don't care. We're just getting through it all. We're going to talk about lots of games because both the Ubi Show and the PC Show had lots of games to it. Just to start with Ubi, good show.
Yeah.
Ubi is the third-party publisher that brought it. Like,
well, EA to bring it.
They have the past several years. We kind of mocked Ubi, and especially when like Joel McHale hosted Ubi way back in the day, it was bad. And then
Aisha Tyler, who I desperately miss.
I do too. Who kind of started off a little rough, and then we kind of grew to love her.
Yeah, these people that they had this time. Not her.
No, but what I do like about it is it wasn't really, other than the very beginning, which was awkward. It's not really hosted, quote unquote hosted. It's just like a showcase, and that by far is my favorite format. I would love to see every company do that at E3, where they just come out and show you games, and that's essentially what they did. Is they just came out and showed us games, outside of a weird intro that led into a panda with a marching band was for Just Dance 2019, which again. Not our thing, but the sexy psychic loved it, super into the, so target audience, okay, like they got it, you know, and so the panda with the marching band did good. And then from there, it got better and better and better and just showed us a lot of software that looks really good.
Yeah.
So panda with the marching band was the first thing, we'll just jump in and start going through. The second thing they showed us was Beyond Good and Evil 2. And showed us a new trailer with lots of content in it that was big and impressive and pretty and had Jade.
I'm excited about tomorrow when we get to do the trailer Patreon content stuff.
Yeah.
Because we're going to spend like 30 or 40 minutes on that trailer, I think.
Yeah.
That thing was ridiculous, and you said it exactly right. Had all this great stuff, and then it had Jade. Holy cow.
Yeah. Which we weren't expecting. It's a prequel, and we've been told it happens before Jade, and then there's Jade, and we don't have a clue.
And Jade ain't happy. Somebody made Jade really mad.
Yep.
Jade not happy, and I don't know if her and BJ know each other. I don't know what the deal is there, but she ain't happy.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So it's definitely piqued my interest. What we didn't get was gameplay. They talked a little bit about how the game will work and some of the stuff about air combat and open world and all that. But this is a long ways off. This is not a game we're seeing this year, we're not seeing next year. This is 2020 at the earliest.
Yeah.
And we mentioned this in the PlayStation show, quite possibly next gen.
Yeah.
I think there's a good chance.
I don't think there's any question that whenever this thing hits, it's an automatic upgrade. I don't care what hardware you've got now. I've got a 1080 in my house with a really nice processor. Yeah, it ain't gonna matter. When this thing comes out, I'm gonna have to be rebuild just to run it.
Yeah, the visuals of it are stunning.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Now, granted, this isn't gameplay at this point. We don't know what gameplay in the engine is gonna look like, anything about the engine, any of that kind of stuff. I don't care. Like, it's going to be pretty. It's a question of how pretty is it. One of the things they did announce, though, that was new, that we didn't anticipate, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, of all people, came out. He has this company called Hit Record that does, like, content creation. And so Yubi is partnering with Hit Record to do content like artwork, in-game artwork, music, visual arts in Beyond Good and Evil 2. And so if you are an artist and would like for stuff you do to be in the game, there's a way you can do that. You can go to hitrecord.org, I think is the website, and like sign up for the like try to get your content in Beyond Good and Evil 2. Submit stuff and they'll pick the best stuff and it could be in a game.
Hey,
that's cool.
Gaming Uncensored people, we ask you people to do a lot of stuff. I'm going to ask you to do something else. I want you to go to Hit Record and I want you to start a petition to get Tommy and I in Beyond Good and Evil as voice actors, because my voice would be perfect for Beyond Good and Evil, and you got the fur going on with your voice, and like, I just, we'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Get us in there.
Yeah, Jamie and Beyond Good and Evil would be fantastic.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
It's great. So.
I want to be in the game.
Yeah.
So get that started. Petition for Jamie and Tommy to be in Beyond Good and Evil, because I will go anywhere I have to go. This is my first road trip thing on the road. Now we know, you said earlier, like 15 minutes ago, now we know we can do it.
Yep.
And the world better just watch out.
There you go.
Because here we come. So I want to be in Beyond Good and Evil. Let's make that happen.
Yep. After that, they talked about Rainbow Six Siege a little bit, which is still a thing. 35 million players is what they said, I think.
I don't
Yeah. I'll tell you, I have a cousin who's in the military. He is like an investigator in the Air Force, like pretty legit. Loves Rainbow Six Siege, like is way deep into it and loves the authenticity of it, and like talk to me about like just how much he digs that game because it feels like stuff he's familiar with being in a film. Like, cool and kind of terrifying, but cool, you know. But he's like that kind of dude. That's all he, I mean, before he was in the military, he's always been into these types of games, and so it just made sense for him to do that. And I loved it. I loved talking to him about it. I loved his excitement about this game that I've played, and I'm like, open the door and shoot, and oh, I died. You know, like, that's, I don't have the tactical side of a game like this down at all. And so when he's talking about, like, I killed, like, four people with this one move this one time, and it was, like, super cool, and I'm like, that sounds super cool. That's what I wish I could do with a game like this, but I can't. That's outside of my capabilities.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's a big deal. Good for them. After that, they did a little bit about esports stuff, and just... We don't get esports really at all.
No.
And there's this trend this year. We saw it in EA and we saw it at UB of these kind of rags to riches stories with like these esports competitors. And I just like, I don't have any like emotional space for, oh, I was really bad at a video game and then I worked really hard on it for like 3 years and now I'm like competing at this really high level. And,
and I have more money than you.
I know. It feels like they're trying to do the thing like the Olympics do every year. And it's one of the best part of the Olympics that they always have these feature stories on the athletes about like what they've overcome to get to this place. And so like I was a world-class skier and when I was 3 years old, like I got attacked by a shark or whatever, you know, like there's always these crazy stories about these Olympic athletes, and I have yet to hear one of these esports stories be anywhere as compelling as those are, but it feels like they're trying to do the same thing, and I'm just like, I don't.
Well, and I think part of it, at least on my end, is jealousy, because because these guys are getting paid crazy money to play games that they love. And I'm sorry, we talked to you guys about Patreon a lot. We talked to you guys about supporting the show, and we'll do that again at the end of this show because we have new ways you can support the show. We do that because I think my dream at this point, the dream that is attainable that I have, is to do this show full time and to be in that world. That's what I want. And I think that's what I wanted when we started. And it's taken a long time, but I think you're kind of coming around to that because your life is changing and it might be doable.
Sure.
and I think a lot of that for me is jealousy, because it's like, these guys got what I want, and they're idiots.
Right.
They're all idiots. Like, they're not smart at all. Yeah,
just like, tools. And you're like, come on.
Yeah.
Yep. I hear you. I do. It's a bummer. But,
yeah.
You know, whatever. After that, we saw some new Trials content. There's a new Trials game, Trials Horizon, coming out. And we didn't really know anything about Trials. It's one of the Trials Fusion, which is the current iteration of this game, is one of the PlayStation Plus games for this month. So you should go download it.
Right.
The other one is XCOM 2, and so XCOM 2 is a much bigger name.
I gotta go home and download that.
Yeah. But you gotta get both of them now, because we've been sitting here playing Trials Fusion a little bit, and it's really fun, and like you die all the time. It's motorcycle. What you said during the press conference is it looks like Excitebike. Like, it's like Excitebike for 2018.
It does. It reeks of Excitebike.
Except it's not racing. It's just not crashing. Like, it's getting through these trials of like a bunch of ramps or whatever, and making it through without crashing. But honestly, the most fun part of the game is when you crash, because it's super entertaining.
I think tomorrow's going to be fun, because I think we're going to get some really heavy alcohol and turn the camera on, and then we're going to play Trials and just laugh hysterically.
Yep.
Because it's hilarious when you try and pull this stuff off and you fail.
Yes. And you do fail. You fail often, and it's entertaining. So there's a new Trials coming called Trials Rising that's coming early next year. I think I don't remember when it was coming. February 22nd, probably, because that's when everything's coming. But it's going to be on the Switch as well, which is super cool, because it'll be really fun on the Switch. It's a game that fits the Switch incredibly well.
Can you imagine doing that with a little motion control? Like, remember back in the day, we were kids and we were playing Excitebike or RC Pro-Am or any of that, and you're trying to do stuff and making a jump, and you actually pick up the controller and move it around. Like, that can happen now. That's a thing.
That is a thing.
It's perfect for the Switch.
It is. Yeah. That sounds like a blast. And so it's kind of stupid fun. It's not a deep game, but it's just enough fun to keep you entertained. And
I'm looking at it, and I said before we started, I'm like, this thing gonna own both of us.
Yeah. After that, they did the Division 2, and so we've seen this at a couple different places at E3. It, as we've talked about, so we won't belabor it, but it looks really good. They gave some more details about like the in-game content. What they're planning to do. You kind of specialize when you hit the level cap. You get to choose a specialization, and so that tries to keep you engaged in the game even after the level cap. They're also planning 3 free DLCs in the first year of the game already, which is cool, and I really want to like it. I hope it's a fun game.
Yeah.
So we've talked about that a lot, so won't belabor that. That's coming out March 15th, so early next year. They did a musical performance of Donkey Kong, because Donkey Kong's coming to Mario plus Rabbids, and cool, whatever. Yeah. And then they went to Skull and Bones. We finally got some Skull and Bones gameplay. So we saw Skull and Bones debut at E3 last year in the Ubi conference pirate game. Very kind of dark and brooding pirate game, the kind of opposite end of the spectrum of Sea of Thieves, which was also shown off a lot last year. This still isn't coming soon, it doesn't look like, but they did show the gameplay, and it reeks of the Assassin's Creed pirate gameplay from Black Flag, of the kind of ship combat that's coming back in Odyssey. I saw some video of that where they're doing a similar thing in that game too. But people really, really enjoyed that portion of the game. I never played Black Flag, but that was one of the things that people really took away. And so it looks like Ubisoft just took that and said, okay, let's make a whole game out of it.
Yeah.
And they did. And I don't still quite get it all how the gameplay is going to work exactly with the ship combat. It looks like it's multiplayer and all this stuff, but it's pirates, and that's kind of fun.
All I can hear is, all I can hear in my head right now is Jerry Seinfeld during the episode with the puffy shirt going, I don't want to be a pirate. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, I don't want to be a pirate. It's like, I mean, it might be fun. maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I think
it's really pretty.
I think maybe I'm more excited about Pirates of the Caribbean in Kingdom Hearts than I am Skull and Bones. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah, that's totally fair. So after that, Elijah Wood came out. So they did have some celebrities because they had Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Elijah Wood both as part of their press conference. Elijah Wood came out to talk Transference, which is this VR game that's weird and trippy. We saw a teaser of it last year. They showed a little bit more game, not gameplay, but kind of because it's live video in this thing, it looks like.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It looks super creepy. I don't know that we're going to do this.
No, we don't want that. I'm just going to tell you right now. Don't buy that.
Don't spend money on that one for us.
Well, we love you, dude, but we're not doing that.
It might be really good, but it's going to scare the crap out of us way too much. Like, nope.
No. And that's what I said like 20 seconds in was nope.
Nope. So, after that, we got Starlink, which again we saw last year. So, no real big new announcements from Ubi, just deeper dives into everything we knew was coming.
And yeah.
I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Starlink looks cool. It's this kind of, I think it's procedural universe, but this kind of space game that you go to planets and then out into space and to other planets or whatever. And it's kind of built off of using like model spaceship toys kind of in real life that link somehow with the game. I don't understand completely, kind of amiibo-ish,
right.
It seems like. It looks really cool, and the ship thing probably is going to cost way too much money for me ever to get interested in it. And then they blew our socks off by saying, if you get this game on the Switch, Fox is going to be a part of it from Star Fox. And that's freaking cool.
It's freaking cool, and then it got cooler because they're like, oh, look who's here. And me and Mara are just sitting in the front row.
So 2 years in a row.
And it's like, and I talked about this on the Patreon content, that it's like Miyamoto has decided, okay, Nintendo, you don't want to go to E3. You want to do the Treehouse thing, which I know they have booths at E3. I get that. But they don't, it's obvious that they don't want to really have an imprint at E3. It's almost like Miyamoto's like, yeah, I still want to go be Miyamoto. The rest of you guys can hang out in the booth or do whatever it is that you do. And so he's finding ways to be involved with other things. I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Crash Ubisoft show every
because
year.
Because he loves being him.
He does.
And I think none of the rest of those guys at Nintendo, like, they don't really care. Even Reggie, I think, hey, I'm over it. But Miyamoto, I mean, can you imagine being that guy and being the age that he is?
Yeah.
And living the life that he has? Like, I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Be like, y'all don't want to come, that's cool. I'm going.
Yeah.
And that may not be what's happening, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Good for him. I mean, live it up, man. You're a rock star in this world. Like, go wherever you want. Like, nobody's turning you away. Like, if you want to go crash Sony's press conference, Sony's going to be, like, happy to have you, man. You know, like, that dude's just an icon. Like, nobody's turning you away. So, it's cool to see him.
It's always something cool. Like, it's not ever, at least so far, it hasn't been a gimmick. Like, I thought Mario and Rabbids was going to be a gimmick, and it turned out to be pretty good. This is going to be pretty good, I think. That's what I love about it, is that he's crashing things, and when he crashes things, it leads to something pretty good. So
yeah, and one of the reasons I'm bummed that they don't do a like full-on Nintendo press conference anymore is I really love seeing Miyamoto get on stage to talk about whatever game. I love Reggie being on stage. Nintendo conferences were just always fun, you know? Like, they just always seem like everybody was having a really good time because they've got personalities that seem like they really enjoy what they do. And that doesn't come through with the Nintendo Direct nearly as much. Like,
no.
It just doesn't have the same vibe. And so that's a small thing, and I mean, in the scheme of gaming industry, it doesn't matter. But for us being E3 junkies that just have loved this for our whole lives,
yeah,
I do miss that component of it for sure.
Yeah.
So After that bombshell, they talked about For Honor a little bit. For Honor has been around for a little bit now. There's new content coming. But the big news is you can go get the starter edition for free on Uplay right now until the end of the week or something like that. And so if you're interested in For Honor or not, because I wasn't really interested in For Honor, but if you're going to give it to me for free to at least try out, I'll try it out. So
yeah,
well, I've picked that up and we'll try it out at some point and see if it's fun to play or not. But you can do that. You can also preload the beta for The Crew 2, which launches like next week or something like that. The idea of preloading a beta to me just seems absurd.
You could preload if anything was working right now.
That's fair. Stinking PlayStation Network. Nah. Freaking whatever. get your lives together. Mm. Then they ended UB with Assassin's Creed Odyssey and quite a bit of detail. And so they just announced the game a couple of days ago and came with a lot of stuff about it. The game's coming this year, and so good that they're coming with lots of stuff about it. And so we knew a little bit coming in. We know that it's going to take place in ancient Greek, Greece that was confirmed. Also, you can play as either a male or a female protagonist. First time in Assassin's Creed that you can choose that way, kind of Mass Effect-y, where you get to choose if you want to.
I'm glad you said that. Because there are a lot of Mass Effect.
One of the other
here.
Big changes that's also very Mass Effect-y is they're giving you branching dialogue trees that have consequences on which way it goes, which Mass Effect, that was one of the big things about it when it came out. And so, yeah, it's like a Mass Effect in Assassin's Creed universe.
And that's like the coolest thing. Like, I've not ever really been into the Assassin's Creed thing, mainly because I couldn't play them for the longest time. They weren't available on PC. This... I will get, like, hey, Duff, if you want to give us this one, that'd be great. Yep. Just pre-order that on Steam, because we'll be playing that. I'll do whatever I have to do to get a hold of it, because it looks spectacular.
Yeah. Big open world, apparently going to be bigger than Origins, which Origins is big open world. It's going to have romance options, another Mass Effect kind of thing to it. And so, again, very Mass Effect-y. But maybe the coolest thing that I just love, and they showed this at the very first little teaser trailer for it, is one of the abilities that you'll have in the game is like the Spartan kick, like from 300, where you just walk up to somebody and like kick them over the edge of a cliff. And that is going to be the most rewarding thing ever. And I'm going to do it every single time I can. Like, just so random people, like, standing on the street, just walking around, just all of a sudden, Spartan kick, bam, and just watch them fall over the side of a building or whatever is going to be awesome.
That's a Patreon video right there. And I'm really excited because you mentioned the fact that you've got new video editing software. So we're probably about to get real fancy with some of our content. Yeah. And I can just see this.
Lots of Spartan kicking.
Spartan kick with like a dubstep soundtrack.
That would be pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's the UB show. Nothing big that's new, really, but... good, good software. And they just showed it. They just said, hey, here's our software. Like, did, you know, some good developer kind of talking through how some of it plays, showing off gameplay, talking through these worlds, whatever. I just really dug it. I just enjoyed the show. I'm excited about the games. I really liked UB this year.
They did a nice job. They've done a nice job the last several years. Other than Nintendo, I love E3. Like I'm happy, and I think I have some jealousy going on because I want to do this all the time.
Yeah,
I don't want to go home on Friday. I want to keep doing this.
Yep.
And this is what E3 does for us every year. We love it, and part of the reason that we love it is the PC gaming show. It's been going on, this is the fourth year, and it brings us stuff that we wouldn't probably find otherwise, because it's a lot of, like, hole-in-the-wall type stuff.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of my favorite events just because of that fact of it's so niche. A lot of stuff we're not interested in at all. But there's stuff that they show off that we're like, oh, goodness, that looks fantastic. Or one of us will really latch onto because we have different tastes in gaming. And so one of us will go, oh, yeah, that looks great. And the other one's like, really, man? Like, that's what you're into? Yep. You know, like, sorry. You know. Yeah. One of the first games they showed was one of those. It's called Satisfactory. That looks a lot like Factorio, which is this big game on Steam right now where you build like these big automated factory things, except for like it's in first person. And so Factorio is this kind of top down. It's pretty rudimentary graphics. It's not really pretty, but it's really interesting and fun. There's a lot of like just figuring out how to set up these machines to accomplish different tasks and building them huge in this massive kind of constantly generating world map thing. This is a lot like that, except it's first person where you can go like with the top down view as well. It's much, much prettier, much more sophisticated
it
graphics.
Looks, I know they didn't do it. I know this didn't happen, but it looked like they ripped it right out of No Man's Sky.
Yeah, it has that kind of feel to just the look and the navigation around the world and that kind of stuff. And it's one of those games that I probably wouldn't ever heard of. I mean, it's been out there. They didn't announce it. It's something that exists already in the gaming ether. I don't know that there's anything playable yet. There is an alpha coming or is out now that you can sign up for. But it just is one of those things I would probably never had on my radar unless for the show. And now I'm really pumped about it. It's something that I really want to play. The next game's one of those, too. It's called Neo Cab, which... it's very cyberpunk. There was a lot of cyberpunk at E3 this year. That's a trend with Cyberpunk 2077 coming. I think a lot of people are trying to capitalize on that aesthetic, knowing that it's going to be a big deal. Neo Cab is one of those, which is like cyberpunk Uber. Like, you're a cab driver, apparently.
That was mine, by the way.
Right? And it's just weird. It's I don't know, like it looks like maybe like a Papers, Please kind of thing where it's going to be very low action but high emotion, weird decisions like taxi cab confessionals, but like
right
meaning. I don't know, I don't get it, but I'm really intrigued by it. I want to play it.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. I think
there's a trailer for it. You should see it. Just the art style, super cool. Neocabgame.com is the website. Battle Royale games, we saw a few of these. There's one that's called Mavericks Proving Grounds. It's Battle Royale, except with, instead of 100 players, it's 1,000 players in a patch.
Yeah.
So if it's already tough in a Battle Royale game for you, this one's probably going to be tougher. And it feels like two-thirds of the people are going to be dead within the first 2 minutes or something like that. Like, it just has to be saturated if you're going to have 1,000 people in the match. Or the maps have to be massively huge. Which I don't think is probably going to be the case. I don't know. Either way, I'm not into the Battle Royale thing.
Well, and I think it's hilarious that the people that are around the industry, even some of the people in the press conferences, have started making jokes about the Battle Royale stuff and how saturated it's becoming because everybody knows that everybody is doing Battle Royale games. And I don't think anybody really understands why, because the guy that hosts it, Day 9, I can't remember his last name, Sean Day 9 something.
Plots.
Which I don't know how that guy got that gig, but he does all right.
He does.
He said something about it. Like, another Battle Royale game. We got a few of those in the show. And so I think it's happening and nobody really understands why it's really a big deal, but it is. So they're just kind of rolling with it. And it's not our thing, but I know a lot of you people out there, you guys play a lot of it.
Yeah. And God bless you. Just not our thing. There was another one that's called Realm Royale that's out already. That's like the Battle Royale thing, except with like classes. So you get to pick like being a mage or something.
Yeah, we'll talk about the funniest one here in a second.
Yes,
but
that's the best. We will get to that one. We'll spend some time on that. By the way, not going to go through every single one of these games because there's a bunch of them. Some of them aren't anything we're interested in. But go by Twitter at PodcastGU and you can see, I think, just about all of them. We at least have links to the website or a trailer or something. There's like Warframe and Killing Floor, these games that already exist.
Which, holy cow, Warframe. What?
Still a thing.
I don't hear about the thing all year. And then every year at E3, they're like, we're adding this thing to Warframe. It's getting huge and we're doing that. And I'm okay.
Yep. I don't know. I don't get it. But a couple we'll bring up specifically to talk about, either because they're super strange or look super cool. One of the super strange ones is a game called Maneater, which is an open-world RPG. This is how the developer described this game. An open-world action RPG where you play as this shark and you eat people. and like, literally, they showed gameplay of it. And, like, it's just like Jaws where you play as the shark. But, like, you can level up and get, like, bigger teeth or, like, be able to, like, go out on land a little ways or whatever to, like, eat people. And it's, like, gory and gross. It's from the same publisher that does Killing Floor. And so it's, like, over the top ridiculous. So if you've ever wanted to play a shark, here's your game.
I feel like that if this is the level we have to go to get a game, I feel like you and I should have a game. Like, you were talking, we went on a walk to a restaurant night before last, and we had the little girl with us, and we had six sidekicks, and you made the crack, the game with a guy in a wheelchair and another dude sort of shepherding him through whatever was going on. That made a great game. Sorry, you and I need to be in a game. Somebody needs to put us in a game.
Yeah, I really think it's a compelling idea for a video game. Like, we were talking about it because we were walking down an alley. It's you in a wheelchair, little baby in the stroller, us walking. And like, man, this is kind of a cool little group of people, you know, to build a game around. And it's like, it really kind of is. Like, you could do like some compelling post-apocalyptic stuff with a baby and a handicapped dude. Like, there's a lot of content there. You could do zombies or like plague or whatever.
Yeah,
there's a lot of interesting stuff you can build off of that.
Can you imagine trying to get to a safe house before night and your battery dies because you got a half hour? You know, like, you're trying to get to a safe house before it gets dark so you can recharge your batteries for the next day. Like, that is epic, man.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if that happens, I asked for a petition on the last show to put us in Beyond Good and Evil. If somebody out there wants to get us in touch with a team to do this game, I will motion capture that crap, man. You can put me in whatever suit you want to put me in. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Would you be down for that?
Absolutely.
Would you get in the suit?
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. I love it. I think it'd be great.
You think mom would let us put a little girl in the suit?
That's going to be trickier, but maybe. We could try.
I think it's doable, man.
I think it's great. I think it's an awesome idea for a video game. So we may have to work on that a little bit more in the future.
What's the name? What do we call it?
I don't know. We need a good name for it.
That's a crowd thing. Okay, so email us or send it on Twitter. We need game names for a survival horror wheelchair crippled shepherding baby shepherding game featuring Jamie, Tommy, and little girl. Yeah.
Yes. Who does have a name, by the way?
She does.
We call her little girl all the time. At some point, we'll tell you her name. She does have one, we promise.
When we can, we will. and the funny
we do thing, honestly just call her little girl a lot. And so
we do. And the thing is when we get to the point where we can tell you her name, we're probably still going to call her little girl.
All the time.
And she's good. I can tell you right now, because my nieces hate it. Because I had this thing with them that whenever they were younger, I called them little kid.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, little kid. And now they're older, so they're like medium-sized kid. And like Avery, she's about to be big kid.
Yep.
So, like, now it's like medium-sized kid, almost big kid.
Yep.
I'm going to be the same way with her.
Yep.
Hey, little kid. That's just my thing. She's going to hate it, but that's going to be the way it's going to be.
Yep. That's how it works.
So, yeah, she does have a name, but I'll probably not use it that much.
Yeah, we don't now. I mean, we can. We call her Little Girl. So, all that being said, a couple other games from the PC Gaming Show. One called Morningstar that looks very Stardew Valley, and then not. This is how it is described. You can go by and see some content from it. Morningstar is a, quote, post-cyberpunk. So they're too cool even for the cyberpunk thing. It is post-cyberpunk. A post-cyberpunk farming sim where computers are the soil and data are the crops.
Wow.
I don't know what the crap that means.
Wow.
But I'm intrigued because I love Stardew Valley. It did look a lot like Stardew Valley at first. And so give me more of that. We also saw Ooplets, which is Stardew Valley-ish meets Pokemon meets whatever, that I'm just really excited about. And I can't even tell you why. But it's cutesy and ridiculous and over the top, and I think it's going to own my soul.
Yeah, it totally will.
Which I'm good with. It'll be fun. So a couple other ones we'll pull out here. Star Citizen showed up.
Again.
Been around for a while. Going to be around for a while. The big thing they were pushing here is they're teasing Alpha 3.2. When do you finish a game? I don't know. Minecraft never finished a game and was a massive. I mean, they eventually finished the game, but that was a massive, massive deal when it was a beta for like
again,
10 years.
I say again, we can do this.
Right.
Like, seriously, we can do it. We can create it. We're going to have to get some people, but we can make this happen.
Yeah.
We can have a game that's based around us, and we can become massively rich because of it.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Fair. We saw a gameplay trailer of Overkill's The Walking Dead. Didn't really actually explain gameplay that well. It's a shooter, a first-person shooter, kind of set up with The Walking Dead universe. It's from the guys that did Payday, so there's a lot of hope that this is going to be a really good Walking Dead game that's not Telltale, that's a little bit more photorealistic.
Yeah.
It looks compelling.
Because we need that.
I got a little bit of a Left 4 Dead vibe from it because there's like four main characters to it, and so it seems like this four-player co-op kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which Left 4 Dead's super fun in the Walking Dead universe. I mean, it kind of lends itself to it. I think it could be a really cool game. They already have proven with Payday they can pull that kind of thing off. I hope it's fun.
I think it's going to be. And I hope that everybody gets all they can out of the Walking Dead thing. And I got to tell you, the Walking Dead is changing. I haven't told you this. I've watched 4 seasons of Fear the Walking Dead. I know you haven't touched it. The 4th season is absolutely compelling.
Really?
Like, if you have not ever seen Fear of the Walking Dead, you should just start with season 4 because the way that they're doing it is different from the other Walking Dead stuff. I can't tell you how. It's just they're doing different things with the colors and the way that they're telling the story. It's fantastic.
Good to know.
If I
watch the first season of it, and I really liked it. I just never picked it back
right up.
I need to pick it back up.
Season 4 is really good.
Good to know. I'm excited about that because I'm also behind on The Walking Dead, the actual TV show. And it's started to lose interest for a lot of people. I'm one of those people
right, that
just kind of lagged on it. I really love it. I want to catch up, but it feels like it's getting long in the tooth, you know? Yeah. And so
Fear is really good. And if people are going to do things like that to keep it fresh and change things up,
yeah,
I think it's going to be around for a while. Yeah. I think Kirkman's going to be around a long time. I don't think Robert Kirkman going anywhere.
Yeah.
Because he kind of got this empire going on. So
he's doing okay.
I'm excited about it.
And speaking of, more Walking Dead for you. Of course, Telltale's doing the last season of The Walking Dead that they've been doing so far. They may do other spinoffs or whatever, but the story of Clementine is completing with this last season of The Walking Dead, and it looks really cool. They showed it off some new elements to it that are really interesting. There's going to be some unscripted combat to it, and so up until this point with The Walking Dead, the Telltale games, all the like encounters with a zombie have been scripted events or quick time events or whatever. This is going to have some unscripted stuff, like where like zombies can just kind of wander upon you at by chance or whatever, that aren't necessarily events that are going to just play out in the telling of the story. And this is a stupid thing to be excited about, but I'm really excited about it. There's going to be like adjustable camera, like an orbital over the shoulder cam that you can like move around and look at the environment, free camera. And that seems like such a basic thing in a game, but in The Walking Dead that hasn't ever existed before. And just watching them play around with it, I was like, oh wow, I didn't realize how much I was missing having that, but that looks really great.
Telltale is another one of those companies that's going to be around for a long time, because with every game that comes out, they innovate a little more.
Yeah.
And I am, those games, we talked about the massive catalog of games that we have to play. Those games, I don't care what, when they come out, what else we're doing, whatever else we're doing gets completely dropped while we're playing whatever they give us.
Yep.
And I haven't played the new Batman yet, but I'm like, okay, it's time. I kind of need to get back into that. I don't know what it is about those games. I don't know that they, I think it's mostly that they fit into our lives.
And they're really good at storytelling.
Yes.
Like, The Wolf Among Us is fantastic. I'm so excited about the new season of The Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
It's great. I've never read Fables, the comic book that's based off of, but I love the game. It kind of makes me want to go back and read the comic. Like,
yeah,
it's really good. So thank you, Telltale, for putting out really good games. I appreciate it.
Yes.
So, a couple more for you. There was a game called Noita. N-O-I-T-A. I don't know how you say it, but it's like a 2D side-scroller, maybe Metroidvania-ish thing, or a roguelite game, which is a trendy thing right now that I don't fully get, but whatever. But the gimmick with this is that every pixel is, quote, interactive and destructible. And so in the gameplay, like, it's just blowing up these big platforming levels with these different abilities, and it looks terribly difficult and like you're gonna die a lot, and also like a lot of fun and just a cool vibe to it.
Says a guy that spent most of his adult life playing the in-game.
Yes.
Like,
by the way, is on the Switch now.
Wow.
I haven't downloaded it yet for the world life of me. I don't know why I haven't downloaded in-game in plus on the Switch yet, but yeah, gonna do that.
Yeah.
And it will own me. So yes, you are correct. That is fair.
I mean, that's why you're all about it, because it's more of that.
Yes. There was also Two Point Hospital, which looks really fun. It's a hospital sim, which doesn't sound that fun, but it's like a goofy, over-the-top hospital sim. It's one of those games that's going to own me. Like, I already know. Like, just seeing it, like, for 2 seconds, I'm like, I'm going to be completely into it. One of my favorite parts was they have a monobrow infestation that happens. Like, teenage boys come in with unibrows, which is a problem I struggle with myself as a 34-year-old man.
Yeah.
I just grow hair everywhere, and across the top of my face is one of those places. And so, like, there's a monobrow infestation where there's, like, little eyebrow caterpillars all over the hospital, and you've got to like get rid of them. And it's so random and amazing, and I'm pumped about it. For
okay, quick sidebar. I'm glad that you're totally aware. I don't know if I told you this, but a few years ago, I met a woman who I grew to love, who didn't have a lot to say to me about anything. But one day we were on Skype, and she's looking at me, and she goes, "Would you do me a favor?" I said, "What?" She says, "Would you please go get your eyebrows waxed?" I said, "Are you kidding me?" And she goes, "No, I'm serious. You look so much better. Go get your eyebrows waxed." So now, you didn't know this is going to make you laugh. I do. I go get them done because Patricia said, "You need to get this done," and it is stuck with me. And now I'm like super anal about my eyebrows, and yeah.
For the love of all things good and holy, please do not tell that to the sexy sidekick, because she gives me the hardest time about my eyebrows all the freaking time. If she heard you got your eyebrows waxed, she would bother me for days about getting my eyebrows waxed.
I knew it. I know you're not going to do it.
No, there's not a chance. But I do. I have to trim them up, or else she is like, your eyebrows are out of control, man. They do, too. I'm not even kidding. I'll have eyebrow hairs that are like 3 inches long. They're like unicorn horns sticking out from my face. And so... Not where I thought this was going, by the way.
No, no, not at all. But I'll try and keep my mouth shut. I really will. I will tell you this. As soon as I catch my breath, it doesn't hurt. Like, you get used to it, it's okay. So
I'm sure.
If it ever happens that you need to get that done, it's not that bad.
Fair. I appreciate that, but I'm going to avoid it as much as I can.
Now, so. You know what I'm not going to do? Like, I got mine done, like, right before I left to come here.
Sure.
Not right before, but a couple weeks, right? And so the woman that did them says to me, so I can do your nose now. And nope. I'm like, no, thank you. We're not doing that. And she's like, come on, please. I'll do it for free. Nope. Thank you. Not happening.
Yep. I've got that problem too, but nope. I got a little trimmer. I get up in there and dig around for a little bit, but yeah.
That's right.
Not doing any plucking or waxing. Or,
yeah.
Nope. So. That was wonderfully random. Really quick, just to finish up. They finish up with the new Hitman game, which they announced a couple of days before E3. And that's coming, and that's cool. Hitman's kind of a fun, interesting franchise, whatever. But we have to talk about one more game for a second, which was right near the end. It's a battle royale game, but one that I'm going to play. I'll say that. I don't know how much I'm going to play of it. It may not be a fun game
I'll
at
play
all.
It.
But I got to try it, because it cracked us up. Just had us rolling laughing. And it's the most irreverent game maybe I've ever seen, which it makes me want to play it more.
Seriously, it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. So it's called Rapture Rejects, which is a great starting point. It's from the world of Cyanide and Happiness, the webcomic, and so it has that art style to it, if you're familiar with Cyanide and Happiness, which is kind of a really simplistic, cartoony, comic-y thing, webcomic, whatever. But the premise is... that the rapture happens, and so all the good people get taken up into the clouds with Jesus, and everybody else is left to fight it out, apparently, and thus it's a battle royale game. And so the trailer was like this dude that's like apparently real religious, that's like going to bed after saying his prayers, has a picture of Jesus above his bed, and like sees this bright light coming in through his window, and so he runs over to the window and looks out, and like all these people are getting taken up into the clouds, and he's so excited because he thinks he's about to get raptured, and it doesn't happen, and like his roommate in the background is like hitting the ceiling because it's like trying to rapture him, and he's like indoors, and he like goes and pushes him out the window so he can be raptured, whatever. It's absurd. And then like dude's like, screw it, and like downs a 40 and breaks a bottle and like goes and shifts people, and it's just like ridiculously terrible, sacrilegious, and looks really funny.
And we, like, here's the thing: the reason it made me uncomfortable is we've talked multiple times about where we grew up and where I still live. And part of the reason I'm going home when I'm going home instead of staying for the rest of the summer is because I gotta be home on Sunday to run the sound at church.
Yeah.
So it really makes me uncomfortable because of where I live. But it's so funny that I have to play it. We made the joke on the Patreon content yesterday. You're going to have to lock yourself in a room, make absolutely certain that your in-laws aren't coming, because yeah, there's no way that that's happening. You got to make sure the little girl is bedded down and not going to hear any of that.
Yeah.
But you're going to play it.
Yes. It looks great. Horrible in the best way.
Like, yeah.
We said this on the Patreon thing. I think it's funnier to us in a way because we grew up in that world and have heard sermons about the rapture and all that kind of stuff. And my theology now is much different from my theology when I was young about whatever. We've talked a lot about that. We're both Christians on the show. We have no shame in that. We'll talk about it to whoever wants to talk about it.
Yes.
But we also are not really fundamentalist Christians and have a lot of different thoughts on a lot of different topics like this. And so I appreciate the point I'm at in my life now where I can find a lot of humor in this, because when I was young, I wouldn't have. I would have thought this was a very, very terrible thing and people were horrible. And now I can get the humor of it, and I'm actually looking forward to the kind of roasting that it's going to provide to myself and the kind of culture and world that I've grown up in. And I'm excited about it. I think it looks hilarious. I really do. It's just cracked. We were dying. We were rolling when they were showing those trailers.
And I'm going, I shouldn't be laughing at this.
Right.
I really shouldn't be laughing at this. But it is that funny. Yeah. Like, it's that... It is that out there, and I want to play it.
So that's a PC gaming show with a handful of things we skipped over because there was a lot to it. Again, if you have a niche, there's probably something in there that hits your niche. That's the beauty of PC gaming. And it's a weird show, too, because it's not done by a publisher, specific publisher or content provider. It's a cohort of a bunch of different publishers showing off stuff, and so it makes it fun and interesting, and one of the things I really look forward to at E3 every year.
You know what I thought was odd? They didn't talk about hardware at all.
They had just a little second with, who was it, that somebody from Acer came out and talked about
the monitor.
Yeah,
but that I'm was it. About, they didn't talk about video cards.
Or
last year it was sponsored by AMD, so AMD was pimping their new stuff, but they didn't talk about anything, which I thought was odd for a PC gaming show. But they showed a ton of software.
They did, and a lot of it looked really good, and that's fun. So I dig it. I really like the PC show. I look forward to that every year.
I do. Like I said, I wish I knew how Day 9 got that job, because
he's an awkward, cheesy dude.
He is.
But he kind of rolls with the punches. There was a couple of really good, like, on his feet moments where one guy, I don't remember what game it was, but one guy was like weirdly excited about the game, and he was like, dude on the left is really like whatever. That was great. And then the doctors that was for the Twin Point Hospital or whatever, Two Point Hospital, their mics weren't working, and so he just like said, hey, come over here, like put his arm around him so he could talk into his lav. And so it was super awkward, but they just rolled with it. It was fun. It was endearing because of that, and he does a good job. He's awkward and cheesy, but I dig it. He's growing
on me.
I
do, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a fun show.
All right, so that is officially all of our press conference coverage. That does not mean that we're done. We are so far from done. We still got 2.5 days of nothing but creating content. It's actually a little scary.
Yes.
Because we've got more time than we've ever had in any previous E3 ever. And I'm still trying to figure out how to stall and give us more, because we got so much crap to do. We've got... Labo to play with. We got all this other stuff. And so keep it locked in for more content from us. For right now, though, you know how to get a hold of us. It's the email gamingunscensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And before we get out of here, I know you got stuff to mention because you mentioned it last show. We need to mention that again because there's a whole lot of new stuff, so I'm going to let you take that.
Yeah, one of the things you can do for us, of course, go by gamingunscensored.com. And if you want to contribute to us monetarily, we will absolutely take your money. You can do that.
Absolutely.
Patreon, which is great because we can give you content exclusively through there, super easy. And so there's tons of videos right now. There's our first impressions of all the press conferences. And so check it out. They're entertaining. They cover some stuff that we don't talk about on the show, and we're stupid and goofy in those. They're fun. So please, if you feel like that's a fun way to contribute, we want some extra content, we will happily take your money for that. But one thing we're asking, kind of making a push for with the rebranding of the show, we're doing a new format. This is kind of a rejuvenation point in the life of Gaming Uncensored, and one of the ways that you can help us with that is by going and giving us positive reviews. And so on iTunes or on Stitcher or on TuneIn Radio, where we're at now, or Spotify. I don't even know if they do reviews on Spotify, but we're trying to get on Spotify. And so if you're there or wherever you're listening to us at, whatever pod service or whatever you get us from, if you can leave a review for us, please do, because that helps people find us. The more reviews we get, especially positive reviews we get, the more people who are coming and listening to the show. So do that. And also, we'd love if you share the show and content or whatever on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, Instagram. I don't know. I don't do Instagram. I don't understand it.
That's I don't need Avery is on Instagram. So if you see my niece, be cool. Be cool.
Fair. But share some content to tell your friends, whatever. We're just trying to get some more people involved in the Gaming Uncensored community. We think it's fun, and we would love to see this world grow and expand. And as we're trying to do more, we would love to have more people coming along for the journey. And so if you haven't given us a review, do that. If you haven't given us a review in a while, go give us a new one. Use a different name. We don't care. Create a couple of different Apple IDs and give us some good reviews, whatever.
Hey, Kevin.
We'll game the system.
We're talking to you.
Yeah, for you guys that have been around forever, especially, like, go give us new reviews. Yeah. Say, hey, these guys are still fairly entertaining.
Yeah, they were really entertaining back in the day, and they sort of still got it. Do that. That would be great.
Yes, for sure.
I'm really excited about all this new stuff. I think it's going to open up lots and lots of opportunities for us to do things that we've never done before, things that we've never really had time to try, but things are changing, and it's gonna happen, so here we go.
Yes. It's exciting times.
Very, very, very exciting. I'm looking forward to being here more than I'm at my house, so that especially.
Yes.
Because, let's face it, when you got Kratos for a dad, it's not a lot of fun. and you're laughing because you know I do.
Yeah, that's not unfair.
So, yeah. So, definitely do all of that and hang out, because we're going to be here for at least 2.5 more days doing crazy, crazy stuff, trying to not pay so much attention to a little girl. It's nearly impossible. We come in here for an hour, and it's like, okay, I've got to go back out because we've been in here for a whole hour, and that's way too long.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's going to continue to happen. Please, please, please share this stuff everywhere. Let us know what else we need to do, because we'll probably do it.
Sure.
Like, you got to come to my hotel in the morning and take a video of me getting up, which that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why you people want to see that, but it's going to happen. So please be prepared, because you got a lot more coming up. All that being said, I think that's all we've got.
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. For right now, we are Gaming Uncensored. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2018. It's E4 only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out.
Insert is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.